This here is kind of a two-part question, but what advice do you give those, and I know there's a lot of them here, who are people who are in agreement with us, but they're a part of churches who are not, and in many cases, against us. And, a part of the code of preachers that I've been taught, when somebody visits your church from another church, you let the pastor know. Well, we can't do that because pastors freak out when they find out their people visit churches like ours.
And almost none of them do that anyway.
Yeah, and I don't want to tattle on people, okay? Right. But at the same time, these people, many of them, they're desperate to see their pastor change on these things. And, what should they do? How should they handle it, in their church? What advice do you have for that person, Do you think they should try to change their pastor? And if yes, how?
Well, that is a little bit of a, not complicated, but I think there's different situations that need to be taken into account. I know of people who go to old IFB churches where the pastor knows everything about what they believe. They know they're here this week, or whatever, and they have good relationships with those pastors. And those pastors aren't necessarily changing, but they can serve there and they can be a part of it. They can, teach and preach and lead soul winning groups and things like that. And, if you're not going to move, that's the second best option. Obviously, the best option is move. You're not going to be at a church like Faithful Word. You're not going to be at a church like any of the churches, that are represented at this conference. So if you can move. That would be the first advice. If for whatever reason you can't or you're not willing to, you can find a church that's in the old IFB where you can serve and get plugged in and not, cause problems. What it comes down to is that sometimes, we are so right that we do it in the wrong way. And guys can come in and they start criticizing their pastor or criticizing their pastor to other people. And they do it in a way that doesn't help, doesn't make us look good, I would just encourage them, look, either it's a church you can get connected into or not, right? You've got to have your deal breakers. And if there's no deal breaker there, then look, you're the one that chose to go to the church where they have Sunday school, so quit complaining about the Sunday school, because you don't have to go there. You could move. Well, I can't. Well, if you can't, you've got to understand that for yourself. Because when they go into these churches and they start, causing problems, it doesn't help. I don't know that really helps anything. But there are churches that people are just hostile towards us. And in those situations, I would say, unless you enjoy going to church where every Sunday night sermon is going to be directed at you, you need to find, another place. Because there are some pastors in the old IFB, they're not hostile. They're just neutral, or they just want to stay out of it, or they don't, because a lot of these guys are starting to figure out that, wow, whenever somebody tells me they came because they heard, they watch Pastor Anderson, or because, they got saved watching After Tribulation, they're starting to connect the dots. All these guys are tithing and soul winning and Three to Thrive, right? And my Hiles graduates, I can't get them to show up for Sunday night church. They're starting to realize that there's a benefit to having our people in their churches, So if they're smart, they just keep their mouths shut, right? And not cause any problems. You've got the Keith Gomez's, right? That are just hostile towards us. I wouldn't spend my time in a church like that. I try to find a church that I can get connected in, that I can get behind, or move. It's really what it comes down to, right? That's what Brother Garrett was preaching about. You got to be willing to move, not just in the tribulation. You got to be willing to move right now if you want to do great exploits for God sometimes. So,
amen. That's good. Yeah, and I just want to go on record as saying I've been kind of on a mission to try to get pastors to stop being hostile towards these people, but at the same time, because of it, some of these people have started coming to my church, and they're great. And so I'm like, yeah, y'all keep being mean to them, so they'll come to my church. But no, for their sakes, I'd like to see that.
Well, I mean,
change.
Here's the thing. I mean, here, if you live within an hour of a church of one of the men that is, represented here, I mean, drive. I got a really, really nice guy over here, but that's, I mean, if you can go there. I'm talking about people that can't move or it's just too far. There are some old IFBs, I've been told, that would allow them to be members and serve and all those things. But just don't mess that up for yourself. Be use some wisdom and discernment is what I would say.
Okay. So Do you have any advice for the younger men? A lot of young guys in this that are looking to be a part of this, maybe wanting to pastor someday. What's your advice for those young guys, up and comers?
It's going to sound like I'm repeating myself, right? But if you're here and you are just frustrated with your pastor, right? Look, it's not good for you to go to church and you're just whining and complaining to your wife, in front of your children about your pastor, right, all the time. If that's the issue, then you need to move, right? And if you can't, then try to be content. That's the advice you give to the men that don't want to go in ministry, that, don't have that desire, that just want to be members and be faithful, right? If you have a young guy who wants to pastor a church, as far as I can tell, there's one option: you move. Mm. And, I don't understand this thought where these guys are like, well, I want to be a pastor, but I'm not going to move. It's like you're like a single guy. Mm. It's like it's hard to move because you've got to provide for a wife and children, all those things. I mean, to me, unless your pastor is going to send you out, which I think is rare for IFB, it happens. But I don't think it's, and the bigger this thing grows, I think the less likely it's going to happen that they're going to send you out being connected to us. Mm. I think the option is you got to move, get to church, get trained, and get sent out. Because look, if you want to pastor this type of church, why don't you get trained by one of these types of pastors, and really learn the ministry. And I will say this, there's a big difference between watching the sermons online and being part of the church. Those are two different worlds. Yeah. And I would say that most of the lessons that these guys learn as young men being trained in ministry, probably most of the time come from when the camera's off, and just watching us, deal with people, deal with problems, deal with issues when we're not putting that on YouTube necessarily. So, if you're a young guy and you want to go in the ministry, you need to move. You need to move to church where you can get trained and you can get sent out or have your pastor train you. But a lot of these guys, see, these pastors, if you walk up to a pastor in the old IFB and say, I want to be trained for the ministry, they're like, move to Golden State Baptist College. They don't even know how to train. They don't even know what that means. So I would say we'd be happy to train you guys and send you out,
So quick commercial. Your two options: go pay thousands of dollars to go to Bible college and learn how to work on a bus route, or come to our church and we will train you for free.
Right.
So, I don't know, I think that's a no-brainer, but
well,
anyway.
Let me throw in a quick preaching, I guess, is we want to mock at the old IFB, which we should, and trust me, I take enough as many jabs at them as anybody else. But, at least those guys are willing to move. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, those guys are willing to travel 3,000 miles to House Anderson or Commonwealth or whatever. And then we've got some guys that are like, I've got this really good job at McDonald's. And it's like, just move. They're willing to do it. Mm-hmm. They're willing to do it, and they're willing to go to school for 40, hours and work at night or whatever. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, don't let them show you up.
Yeah. All right. So I guess final question, and just in your opinion, I know you're not a prophet, you can't look into a crystal ball or anything, but, being in this as long as you have, seeing what you've seen in the last few years, what do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years, in this movement? Have we peaked, or are we just getting started?
There's no way in the world that we've peaked. I think that 20 years from now, people, and don't take this the wrong way, but I think 20 years from now, people are going to be looking at things like the Prophecy Conference and the Red Hot Preaching Conference and laughing at the fact that we thought it was a movement now because of how big it's going to get. Because this thing's just, we're not adding, we're multiplying. And I think it's going to, and I'm not a prophet, so if this doesn't come to pass, don't stone me, right?
Just an opinion. I asked
just an opinion. But I think the old IFB is going to finally, die. And I think we're taking over. We're going to take over. But I think we've only seen the beginning of it. And, I don't know, what's going to happen with this movement. But I know this, that as long as we stay humble and as long as we just keep the main thing, the Great Commission, which includes soul winning, includes, preaching the Bible and helping people grow. And, of course, having awesome events like this, because this is what the old IFB doesn't have, right? They don't have prophecy conferences. They don't have soul winning marathons all over the country and the world, you know. As long as we just keep working, people are going to be attracted to this. And I think this is just the beginning. I think we're looking at just the start of what the Lord's going to do through this movement.
Amen. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for your testimony. Sid, I was one of those watching. And yet, I don't think a lot of these guys realize how many people are watching and what a difference they are making, you know, by their sermons, by their actions. And for me, I think the final thing for me that, I don't know, that told me, all right, this is for real. These guys aren't in it for the fame and glory. You know, I guess the faithfulness when you guys were getting attacked with the protesters and all of that. And the fact, too, that I guess I expected to see a lot of the Baptists come on board and support them. Some of the big names to kind of stick up for them. And I didn't see that at all, unless I missed something. And, you know, and I kind of looked at myself as, you know, I'm a little guy, I'm a nobody. It's not really going to help if I say anything. But I don't know, I felt like I missed an opportunity to kind of get behind these guys in that situation. And when that happened, when I saw the lack of support, and when I saw these guys stick it out and do the real thing, it really made a huge impression on me in a big way. And I guess I said, that's not going to happen again. And so, you know, I felt like the next thing I saw when the whole thing happened with the Anti-Anderson conference, I was like, yeah. Especially when it was my group, I'm like, I'm not standing by this anymore. And so it was faithfulness for a long time. And long-term faithfulness. If they'd just been faithful for a few years and then quit, it wouldn't have done anything for me. But it was that long-term faithfulness. And so I thank you for that. I thank all many of you that are here, many of you pastors. I appreciate your faithfulness. It means a lot. And so keep it up. So, Brother Paul, go ahead.
Very good, guys.